نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، الحديث الحادي عشر: الأمور التي تؤدي انحراف المسلمين عن سبيل المؤمنين من هذه السلف الصالح والفرقة الناجية. الأمور التي تؤدي إلى انحراف المسلمين عن سبيل المؤمنين، سبيل المؤمنين هو سبيل الصحابة، ولهذا المؤلف فسره فقال: من هذه السلف الصالح والفرقة الناجية. ذكر الله عز وجل في كتابه سبيل المؤمنين، أي سبيل الصحابة، اتبع غير سبيل المؤمن وله ما تولى ونصله جهنم وساءت مصيرا. فالشاهد قوله تعالى: ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين. وممكن أن نفسر سبيل المؤمنين بقول الله تعالى: صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم، فالذين أنعم الله عليهم هم الذين اتبعوا سبيل الأنبياء وسبيل الصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. الصحابة هم أولى بهذا الوصف من غيره. قال المؤلف: أولا عدم ضبط البدايات، يعني إذا كان الإنسان لا يضع رجله على الصراط المستقيم فكيف يسير عليه وكيف يسلك هذا الصراط المستقيم؟ عن عبد الله بن عمرو قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لكل عمل شرة ولكل شرة فترة، ومن كانت فترته إلى سنة فقد اهتدى، ومن كانت فترته إلى غير ذلك فمن كانت فترته إلى غير ذلك هلك. هذا تتمة الحديث في نفس الصفحة: ومن كانت فترته إلى غير سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فإنه هلك، لأنه لا يبالي الله به تأديب الناس. قال المؤلف: احفظوا الله، يخبرنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا الحديث عن طبيعة المسلم، وأنه يبدأ بشرة وهي النشاط والحماس. إذا عرفنا ما معنى الشرة، أن الشرة معناها النشاط والحماس، ويقبل على عبادة الله عز وجل والعمل للإسلام نشاط وحماس وحرص، ثم يعقب هذا النشاط والحماس فترة وهي الفتور والكسل. فمن بقي بعد فتوره على سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهديه فقد رشد واهتدى، ومن صارت فترته إلى بدعة أو إعراض ومعصية فقد هلك. هكذا نرى كثيرا من الناس ينشطون في قيام الليل ويتعبون أنفسهم، ثم سبحان ما يتركونه وينقطعون عنه بالكلية، ولو أنهم صلوا ما تيسر واستقاموا على ذلك لكان خيرا لهم. ولهذا جاء في الحديث: احسن اعماله الى الله ادومها والقلب. قال الشيخ المؤلف: وان خير ما يعين على الثبات في هذا الامر احسان البدايات في الحكمه، من صلحت بدايته صلحت نهايته، ومن احسن البدايات علمت له النهايه. وإذا لم تكن البدايات صحيحة كانت النهايات قبيحة، فإن للبدايات أثرا في النهايات. الإخلاص والسنة وإحصال الخير يؤدي إلى السلامة في حقه وحسن الخاتمة في نهايته، لأن البنيان إذا لم يقم على أسس سليمة إنه ينهار. ولهذا من أراد أن يشيد بنيانا عليه أن يقيم أساسا صلبا قويا. فلا بد من الإخلاص لله في عبادة العبد وسيره إلى الله. قال: أما الرياء والنفاق والبدع ودسائس البواطن السيئة تؤدين من انحراف في الطريق وسوء الخاتمة في نهايته. وفي الحديث: إن الرجل لا يعمل عمل أهل الجنة فيما يهم الناس وهو من أهل النار، وإن الرجل لا يعمل عمل وإن الرجل لا يعمل عمل أهل النار للناس وهو من أهل الجنة. إنما الأعمال بالخواتيم. فلهذا لا نقطع في عاصف النار كما لا نقطع في طائر في الجنة، لأننا لا ندري ما هي خاتمة هذا وما هي خاتمة ذاك. وهذا إخلاص النية واتباع السنة البداية يضبط الفهم الجنة أو الصورة، وبالتالي سلامة في الطريق ونور إلى السنة وحسن خاتمة. قال أيوب السختياني: إن من سعادة الحدث والعجمي أن يوفقهم الله لعالم من أهل السنة. هكذا كثير من المسلمين الجدد مسلمون ويقولون عن الإسلام ولكنهم لا يهتدون إلى عالم رباني ولا عالم سلفي، فقد يسلم هذا على يد تبليغي ويأخذه إلى جماعة التبليغ تصبح هي مثله لعله، وقد يبتلى أحد المسلمين الجدد بالشيعي فيضله أعداء السبيل أو بالصوفي لا يخذله عن سواء السبيل، أو يبتلى ببعض العقلانيين أو الجهميين أو بعض الليبراليين، وبالتالي لا يستقي من منابع الإسلام الصافية النقية فتفتك به البدع والأهواء. قالوا: من المعني على الثبات الصحبة الصالحة. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: مثل الجليس الصالح والجليس السوء كحامل المسك وما تخفيه. حامل المسك إما أن يهديه، يعني يجهل لك ويضع لك شيئا من المسك، وإما أن تبتاع منه، يعني تشتري منه، وإما أن تخرج منه ريحا طيبة ويريح المسك. ونافخ الكير إما أن يحرق ثيابه وإما أن تجد منه ريحا خبيثة. نافخ الكير هو الحداد يخلق الحديث يحميه وينفخ عليه الهواء ويطرق عليه المطراق حتى يتطاير منه الشرر ويتطاير منه الكير وهو الأوساخ التي تعلو على الحديث. قال: وناسخ الكير إما أن يحرق ثيابك وإما أن تجد منه ريحا خبيثة. ولهذا قال ابن شوذب: إن من نعمة الله على الشاب إذا مسك أن يؤافس السنة يحمله عليها. نعمة الله على الشاب إذا نسك إذا تدين إذا صار يعني ملتزما بشرع الله أن يؤاخي أن يصدق صاحب سنة صاحب منهج صحيح يحمله عليها. لا صاحب بدعة ولا صاحب هوى ولا صاحب شهوات ولا صاحب شبهات، لأن الصاحب صاحب. قل لمن صاحبه أقول لك من أنت. عن المرء لا تسأل وسل عن قرينه، كل قرين للمقارن يفتدي. الصاحب سبب إما في هدف صاحبه وإما في نجاته. المرء على دين خليله، أن ينظر أحدكم إلى من يخاف، ولأنه كما قيل من شب على شيء شاب عليه، ومن عاش على شيء مات عليه. والإنسان يعرف بما يكر منه وبما يغلب عليه. عن يوسف بن أصباط أنه قال: كان أبي قدريا وأخوالي رواتب، فأنقذني الله بسفيان، أي سفيان الثوري إمام أهل السنة. يعني كان والده قدريا من القائلين بالقدر، وكان اخواله من الرافضة الشيعة. قال: فبعت بينهما غير ان الله انقذني حينما صاحبت سفيان الثوري وجلست اليه وتلقيت عنه العلوم. فإن صحبة الأخيار توجب العلوم النفعه والخلافة الناظرة الأعمال الصالح، وصحبة الشباب تحرم من ذلك أجمع. قال الشيخ الواحد الثمن وفق في بدايته ونشاطه لعالم سنة وصاحب صالح يحمله على السنة، وهذا يرجى أن تكون فترته على سنته الهدى. أما من كانت بدايته ونشاطه مع مبتدع وصاحب السوء يحمله على البدعة ويزينها له، تكون فترته إلى البدعة والهدارة عياذا بالله تعالى. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن من أشراط الساعة أن يلتمس العلم عند الأصاغر. قال ابن المبارك رحمه الله: الأصاغر أهل البدع. فأهل البدع مهما كان ومهما أشير إليه بالبنان ومهما بلغت جبته وعمامته فإنه صغير عند الله، لأنه لم يسمو بالعلم النافع. إن من أشراط الساعة، من علامات الساعة، أن يطلب العلم عند الأصاغر، يعني يغيب العلماء ويذهب الناس إلى أهل البدع، وأهل البدع هم الذين يوجهونهم. وفي حق الأصاغر قال ابن المبارك كما قلت: الأصاغر أهل البدع. وفي حق الأصاغر قال أبو علي الحسين بن سعد الآمدي: تصدر للتدريس كل مهوس سليد تسمى بالفقيه المدرس. فحق لأهل العلم أن يتمثلوا في بيت قديم شاع في كل مجلس، لقد هزلت حتى بدا من هزالها حتى سامها كل مفلس. سامها يعني أراد أن يشتريها كل مفلس ليس معه ثمن الغاية، يعني قدر على شرائها المفلسون من شدة هزالها. قال عمرو بن قيس الملائي الكوفي: إذا رأيت الشاب في أوله مع أهل البدع فيأس منه، فإن الشاب على أول نشاطه، على أول نشأته، الشاب على أول نشأته. فكثير من الشباب المحبين للدين والعلم الذين تربوا في بداياتهم وحماساتهم على أيدي أهل البدع وما زالوا بهم حتى دفعوهم إلى كثير من بدع الغلو إفراطا وتفريطا، فمنهم من كفر المجتمعات الإسلامية وأصبح خارجيا، ومنهم ما إن جاءتهم فترتهم إلا وهم شبه عوام منكبين على الدنيا جاهلين أكبر همهم ومبلغ علمهم، لا يعرفون من الدين إلا ما أحدثوه من قواعد تشريعية فاسدة مضلة يردوا بها الحق ويمددوا بها الهالة. الإنسان على ما بدأ وعلى ما نشأ، وإذا نشأ سلميا فإنه سيستمر على ذلك إلا أن يشاء الله، إذا بدأ بدعيا فإنه يجنب طاقته من نشر البدعة ونشر الذكر عنه. قال سعيد بن جبير: لأن يضحك ابني فاسقا شاطرا سلميا جاي من أن يصحب عاقلا مبتدعا. الشاطر هو قاطع الطريق، والناس يكون من خلال الشاطر يريدون اختلاف هذا المعنى، لكن هذا هو معنى شاطر في لغة العرب، هو قاطع الطريق يعني البس. سعيد بن جبير يقول: لا أخشى على ابني أن الفاسق البس وكانها على سلة معبدة، ولا إن فعل ذلك أحب إليه من أن يصحب عابدا عابدا مبتدعا. لأن المعصية البدعة أحب إلى إبليس من المعصية، لأن البدعة ذنبها من ذنب المعصية، لأن المبتدع يقبل الإله بينما الفاسق العاصي يصعب ذنبه ومعصيته وهو يتلفظ بالله. قال المؤلف: وذلك ان البدعه احب الى ابليس من المعصيه، فان المعصيه يسال عليه منها وبما جاء في كتاب البدع والنهي عنها في النهي الواحد القرطبي المتوفى 87 و200 بإسناده إلى أيوب السحراني. قال: كان رجل يرى رأيا فرجع عنه، كان رجل يرى رأيا يعني فكرا منحرف فرجع عنه فأدركت محمدا وهو ابن سيرين فرحا بذلك، أخبره فقلت: أشعرت أن فلانا ترك رأيه الذي كان يرى؟ فقال: انظروا إلى ما يتحول، يعني انظروا إليه أي رأي يتحول إليه بغسره، إن آخر الحديث في أشد عليه من أوله، يمرقون من الإسلام ثم لا يعرف. يشير إلى حديث الخوارج المروي في صحيح البخاري ومسلم وغيرهم يعني. قال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية: ومعنى قول من البدع لا يتاب منها أن المبتدع الذي يتخذ دينا لم يشرعه الله ولا رسوله قد زين له سوء عمله فرآه حسنا، فهو لا يتوب ما دام يراه حسنا، لأن أول التوبة العلم، لأن فعله سيء ليتوب منه، أو بأنه ترك حسنا مأمورا بأمر إيجاب أو استحباب يتوب ويفعله ما دام يرى فعله حسنا وهو سيء في نفس الأمر فإنه لا يتوب. التوبة أيها الأحبة لا يغلق، ولكن هذا الكلام كلام شيخ الإسلام تيمية كلام نفيس وكلام محكم، البدعة لا يتاب منها. لماذا؟ لأن المبتدع يتخذ بدعته دينا، يعتقد انها هي دين الدين الحق، ولهذا يتشبث بهذا الدين الذي هو عليه، أما العاصي فإنه يعرف أن شرب الخمر حرام وأن الزنا حرام، فهو تائب منه إن عاجل أو آجل. أما المبتدع الذي يبتدع في دين الله فإنه يعلم أن هذا هو الحق، إنا وجدنا آباءنا على أمة وإنا على آثار المسلمين. ولهذا قال الإمام مالك رحمه الله تعالى: من ابتدع في الإسلام بدعة يراها حسنة قد زعم أن محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خان الرسالة. اقرأوا إن شئتم قول الله: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. فكل صاحب بدعة يراها حسنة فهو يتمنى أن يلقه الله عليها. الآن الرافضة مثلا يعتقدون أن ما هم عليه من دين باطل هو دين الحق الذي ينجيهم عند الله، وأئمتهم أئمة الضلال يزيفون لهم الحقائق ويزينون لهم الباطل. أما المؤلف: ولكن التوبة ممكنة وواقعة لأن يهديه الله ويرشده حتى يتبين له الحق كما هدى سبحانه من الكفار والمنافقين وطوائف من أهل البدع والضلال، وهكذا يعني يتبع من الحق ما علمه. فقال رحمه الله: إن أهل البدع شر من أهل المعاصي الشهوانية للسنة والجماعة. يعني إن أهل البدع شر من أهل المعاصي الذين يقترفون الشهوات من زنا وخمر وقمار وسرقة ونحو ذلك، هذا ثابت بالسنة. إذ أهل المعاصي ذنوبهم فعل بعض ما نهوا عنه من سرقة أو زنا أو شرب خمر أو أكل مال بالباطل. أما أهل البدع ذنوبهم ترك ما أمروا به من اتباع السنة وجماعة المؤمنين. وقد دحض شيخ الإسلام تيمية رحمه الله شبهة أهل البدع وهي زعمه أنهم يتوبون الناس من المعاصي. إذن كيف يكون أهل البدع شر من أهل المعاصي؟ وقال رحمه الله في مجموع فتاوى: وكان قد قال بعضهم: نحن نذوب الناس، يعني بعضه سهل الضلال والخداع. فقلت: من ماذا تثوبونهم؟ قال: من قطع الطريق والسرقة. فقلت له: حالهم قبل تثويبكم خير من حاله بعد تثويبكم. تثويبكم حالهم قبل تثويبكم يعني تثويبكم إياهم خير من حالهم بعد تثويبكم، فإنهم كانوا فساقا يعتقدون تحريم ما هم عليه ويرجون رحمة الله ويتوبون إليه أو ينهون التوبة. جعلتموهم بتثويبكم ضالين مشركين خارجين عن شريعة الإسلام، يحبون ما يبغضه الله ويبغضون ما يحبه الله. وبينت أن هذه البدع التي هم عليها وغيرهم عليها شر من المعاصي. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله، وقد مضى مفصلا كيف أن البدع والأهواء خير وشر من المعاصي والذنوب، لأن المعاصي والذنوب يفعلها صاحبها نادما آثما، أما البدع فإنه يفعلها صاحبها معتقدا قربة تقربه إلى الله وأنه لا يسر منها. هذا وبالله التوفيق، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وسلم. ومع الحديث الثاني: اتباع الشبهات للحبس والتخمين وجدال وتلبيس المنافقين المتبعين، وهو حديث أبي عثمان المهدي. قال: كنت عند عمر وهو يخطب الله، فقال خطبتي ذهبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنه أعرف ما أخاف على أمتي عند منافق عليم اللسان. هذا صلى الله عليه وسلم على نبينا محمد.
نعم، بارك الله فيك شيخنا، جزاك الله
خير. عندي محاضرة، معذرة لي.
ماشي، جزاك الله خيرا. إذا نترجم وأنت ستحاضر ما كان آخر الآن كذا ليس كذلك؟
نعم
إن شاء الله. الثاني عشر والآن مترجم إن شاء الله. وبك بارك شيخ. آمين.
You have $12.99 remaining.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. شيخ محمد حفظه الله he began by portion of خطبة الحاجة which he thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praised him and sent the peace and salutation upon the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it proceeds that we are at the 11th hadith in this book, and he entitled this chapter those things that will take the Muslim away from the path of the believers, away from the path of believers. And he quoted the ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which means, and whosoever contends with the messenger after clear guidance has been shown to him and follows a path other than the path of the believers, then we will leave him to that path which he has followed, and we will let him taste the punishment of the fire, and that is the worst of abodes. And the place of proof is that, and whoever, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala notes, whoever contends with the messenger after clear guidance shown to them, and follows a path other than the path of the believers, or treads upon a way other than the way of the believers, the mu'mineen. That is the place of proof that the Shaykh is using here. And the sabir al-mu'mineen that we're talking about, the path of the believers that we are speaking about, the path of the faithful, is that which could be made or given the tafsir through Surah Al-Fatiha, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. That is the path of the people who you have bestowed your blessings upon. From the messengers and the prophets, from the martyrs and the siddiqeen and those who followed them in righteousness. Those people that followed upon the path of righteousness are these believers, and that is the description of them. From Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنه, that the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, for every action there is a shirra, and afterwards for the same action there is a fetra. So whoever is fetra was upon my sunnah, and he has been guided. And whoever his fetra was upon something else, then he has been destroyed. Shirra, the word shirra, means for every action there is a shirra, that is, there is a time where the person is has energy to do it, is anxious to do it, has the ambition to complete it, and is in a state of overall preparedness and readiness to do the action. This is shirra. So for every action, there's a shirra. And for every action, there's a fetra. And fetra means a time of laziness and lull and not having that same type of energy that was there before. So whoever, his fetra, his time of lull and laziness and not being as adamant about this action that he is doing, is upon my sunnah, and he has been guided. And whoever is upon something else, then he has been destroyed. And therefore, Ikhwani, we find some, he gives an example, the Shaykh gives it, he says, some of the example is that you'll find some of the brothers or the sisters, they begin with the Gamil Lin, with a lot of ambition, and they do it with consistently for a while, and then leave it suddenly, and cut it all off completely, And if they had just done a little bit of that which they are able to, it would have been better for them. And this is from the hadith of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The best of actions are those that are small, or even if, as long as they are consistent. Or the best of actions, afwan, are those that are consistent, even though they are small. The best of actions are those that are consistent, even if they are small. So this is from the hadith of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam concerning this case. And this is an example of somebody going from the shirra, the fitra. Also, the sheikh, he goes on here and he says, whoever his beginnings are good, and he begins with good, he will end in good. Now pay attention, the sheikh carries on this, he makes this a subcategory of this chapter in which the beginnings, the good beginnings lead to the good ends. And the bad beginnings lead to bad ends. So whoever, he said, من أحسن البدايات, so whoever starts good, then his ending will be good. And whoever begins bad and starts bad or corrupt, then his endings will be likewise. For instance, the building that is not built upon a safe foundation, a strong foundation, or a good foundation, will be likewise a weak building, a corrupt building. It will easily fall, and its ends will not be of good ends, where the building that is built upon strong foundation and good foundation, then it will have a good end. It will not fall as easy, it would not be as a bad of a building, it will be a safer place. And this is an example of whoever starts good, ends good, whoever starts bad, ends bad. If the person, he starts on bid'ah, you see the young man, the beginning of his path is with the people of bid'ah, and he starts upon that, then this is when he is anxious and ambitious and has the energy, then you will find his time of laziness and lull to that which will destroy him. It will be something that was bad, where you find the person of the sunnah, you find the young man on the sunnah, he starts. And that's his beginnings, and that's where his energy is concentrated and his knowledge and what have you. Then you will find when he is in a state of laziness and lull, he is still upon the sunnah, and it leads him to that which is good. This is what is meant by, for every action is a shirra. Every action is a state of energy and high ambitions and what have you. And as that is that state is on the sunnah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at that time, that person, when he is in the state of his laziness and is or in low or not as energetic, he will still be upon the sunnah, continuing to tread upon it. And therefore, he will be guided. Where the person of the bid'ah, the person that started with a bid'ah, he will continue in his bid'ah and it will take him maybe other ways. And that's where he will be destroyed. And from this you find how the bid'ah takes you to the worst of endings. The man, in the hadith says, the man will do the actions of the people of Jannah until the book receives him and he does the actions of the people of the hellfire, so he enters it. And the man, you see the man doing the actions of the people of the hellfire, and the book preceded him, he does the actions of the people of Jannah, so he entered it. Verily, the actions, al-a'mal, are by their endings, al-khawatim. So whoever started on the sunnah, he will be doing that till the end. and so his action will be to a good end. And whoever started on the bid'ah, and the innovation and corruption, then he will end his life with that. The actions are by their endings. And this is where I would take the person to. Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani, a scholar from the scholars of Ahl-Sunnah, he says, from the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the young man and the man Arab, is that he is guided to a person from Ahl-Sunnah. He is guided to a scholar from Ahl-Sunnah. And this, likewise, you find one of the Muslim brothers, they become the Muslim people, they become Muslim. The ones that are not from a Muslim background or from an Arab area, they become Muslim, and many times you'll find them falling into the fold of the Ahl al-Bid'ah and they being their teachers. So sometimes you will find them being guided by the Sufi or the Rafili. Sometimes they'll fall into other versions of liberal Islam and whatever sects are out there, and you will find that his Islam is never founded properly. So from the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the person is that he is guided to a scholar from Ahl-Sunnah. And also from the favor, from those things that will help the person, and likewise, the person he is that starts on this. Let's see. And he said sometimes you will find that these people that begin with Ahl al-Bid'ah in their time of shirra, where they're in their high and they're ready to go. When the fetra comes around and it's time for their low and what have you, many times we'll find these people have entered into the takfir and the death and destruction that is caused by it, and they take such a severe outlook that it takes them to this extreme of making everybody kafir around them and this type of thing, or you will find them go to the opposite extreme till they become like the awam, like they never learned a thing, just running after the dunya being their biggest and main concern. This is the effects of a bad beginning. And from the things that help the person to stay upon that which is good is taking a friend that is upon the sunnah. Taking a friend that is upon the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the jalis, the person you sit with that is good, has the example of the person that sells the misk. He would either give you some or you will smell from him a good smell or you will buy some from him. And the person that has fellow that he would sit with that is evil or bad is like the example of the person that that melts the metal or works with metal. He'll either give you a bad smell or burn your clothes or something bad. You're not going to leave in a good situation from that person. And this is the likes of somebody good and somebody bad with who you sit with. And from the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the young man, this is one of the scholars, he says this, from the blessings of Allah over the young man, that if he becomes istanna, and he becomes to learn his deen and stick to it, that he befriends a person from Ahl Sunnah that carries him upon it. And as the poet had said, don't ask about the man, but ask about his friend. Don't look to him, but look to who he sits with. You will know him from those that are around him. And the hadith that says, that the person is upon the deen of his friend. So let one of you be careful of who he's going to befriend. No. And whoever, Ikhwani, one of the scholars of the Salaf, he said about himself, he says, my father was Qadari. My brothers were Rafidi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved me with Sufyan, meaning Sufyan al-Thawri. He took me and guided me to the Sunnah. His friend, that he took as a friend, Sufyan al-Thawri, he's the one that guided this man to the Sunnah. Look, his father was Qadari, his brothers were Rafidi. He said, I was lost till I found Sufyan. And this is an example of a person befriending someone that is good, taking him to that which is good. So whoever finds at the beginnings good friends of the Sunnah, then he will find that his fetra, his time of law and of laziness will be to the Sunnah. And likewise, the opposite is true. Whoever befriends the people of bid'ah and evil at the time of laziness and what have you, he will be upon that. And that will take him to destruction. And from the conditions or the signs of the hour is that the people seek knowledge with al-asagir, the small. The asagir are the people of bid'ah, as Ibn Mubarak has said. They will start to seek knowledge from the people of bid'ah, and the people of bid'ah would start to dictate to them their orders and their way to be followed. And as one of the scholars has said in a piece of poetry, which means that everybody has stood up, I've seen that everybody has stood up for knowledge, yani to speak in the name of knowledge. And everybody wants a portion of it, meaning to be claiming that they are knowledgeable and have the followers, until that it had become almost like a piece of material sold in the souq, sold in the marketplace, even the muflis, the bankrupt person, to get a piece of it. And it became so cheap a commodity that even the bankrupt person, it had no money, would still get some. This is how degraded knowledge has become or became with a certain people. And this is when the people started to seek it from Ahlul Bid'ah, the Asagir. It came to where it had no real value anymore. And one of the scholars said, if you see the young man with Ahlul Bid'ah at the beginning of his walk, at the beginning of his time, where he starts to learn and become religious and learn his deen, then don't seek any good from that. Don't have no high hopes for him. And the sheikh said, and you find some of the people that began with Ahlul Bid'ah when it was their time of fetra, of lull and laziness, some of them became kafir. Some of them made the people kafir, declared them kafir. And some of them just became like the awam. They just follow in the dunya, and that's all they're seeking for. As if they never learned a thing. Sa'id ibn Musayyib, he said, Sa'id ibn Jubayr, he said, if my son had befriended a person that cut off the path, yani a crook, a highway robber, that was a fasiq, but upon the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah, if he had befriended a highway fasiq robber that was Sunni, it's better to me than if he befriended a worshipper from the people of Ahlul Bid'ah. Sa'id ibn Jubayr says that about his son. He said he doesn't have as much fear over his son if he had befriended a highway crook that was Sunni, as much as if he befriended a worshipping person of Ahlul Bid'ah. The Bid'ah will take the person to destruction. And the Ma'asiyah may end up leading the person to return back to Allah by doing Tawbah. So there's still a chance where the Bid'ah will lead you to destruction. Ayub al-Sukhtiyani, he said that we saw a man that he changed his mind about a certain issue. And we were happy and we said to Ibn Sirin about this. He said, watch, hang on and watch. Where does he change his opinion to? And to which other opinion will he now choose? And then he indicated to them the hadith of the Khawarij. They enter into Islam and leave it like the arrow goes into its prey and leaves. And don't be too happy. This person was a person of bid'ah, and his leaving his opinion might be to something even worse. Why is it that this is the situation of the bid'ah? The first thing is, to make tawbah, you need knowledge. And the person of bid'ah, he thinks he has already reached the station that he needs to be at. Many times the person of bid'ah, he thinks he's on the haqq. He thinks he's 100% good, and he's being closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the problem. For the person that is fasiq, although he is doing that which is wrong and corrupt, he will not be rewarded for, rather he'd be punished. Except that he knows that it is wrong, and maybe he will make tawbah later on. Maybe he'll stop doing it while trying. He's doing it knowing it's wrong, in other words, but he might stop and make tawbah. I mean, he would have a better chance of returning back to Allah because he knows he's wrong than the person that doesn't know or doesn't think he's wrong returning back to Allah in tawbah. The person of bid'ah, he thinks he's doing good, and the more of the bid'ah he does, the better he is doing. The robber doesn't think the more he's robbing, the better he's doing. He knows it's probably, you know, it'll eventually maybe return him back to Allah with making tawbah. Because he knows it's wrong. See, this is the situation with the bid'ah. And this is why the previous statements were made. And some scholars said the bid'ah, there's no repentance from it. There's no repentance from the bid'ah. The meaning of this statement is that the person of bid'ah, again, he thinks he's upon some type of haqq. He thinks he's doing something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where he's worshipping him, so he doesn't have any reason to make tawbah. So why would there ever be tawbah? So the person of ma'asiyah, you will find him closer to the tawbah than the person of bid'ah. Every person of bid'ah, he thinks he's upon the haqq. Look, for instance, toward the rawafid, the shi'a, the rawafid. They think they're on some type of haqq. They think they're on some type of good, and that they're getting closer to Allah by the crazy things that they're doing. So you'll hardly be able to find them giving tawbah where you might find the fasiq that's on the sunnah, even though he's fasiq, eventually say, you know, astaghfirullah, and return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah. But try to find that with the rawafid, and them repenting back from the khubth and the disgusting things that they do. They won't, because they think they're on some type of good. So in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might cause the person of bid'ah to repent, and that door is never closed. The bab of tawbah is never closed. It will always be open. But in reality, and practically speaking, you will find it hard to find a person of bid'ah really repenting from his bid'ah. And therefore, whoever starts in this manner, he will end in an ugly manner that will destroy him. This is why some of the scholars or the people do say the people of bid'ah innovation are worse than the people of ma'asi, of sin. Because the person of sin, he does sin, and it is in himself, or he is the one that is either getting drunk or getting high or doing what he's doing. Or the person of bid'ah, he is beautifying his bid'ah to the people and taking them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa Some of the scholars had a discussion with some of the people of Bid'ah, and they said, what are you doing? They said, we're causing the people to come back to Allah to make Tawbah. He says, from what? He says, from cutting off the pass, you know, highway robbers, and from drinking, and what have you. He said, a scholar retorted back, he said, rather they were on something better than what you brought them to. You brought them to shirk and worshipping other than Allah with him. You brought them to bid'ah and away from the sunnah. And you brought them from being into the fold of Islam, although sinful, into not being into the fold of Islam. So you took them from one thing to that which is worse than it. And this is the situation with the bid'ah and its people and its results. And that's why the Sheikh said, whoever his beginnings end, start good, then his ends will start good. And whoever's beginnings start bad, his ends will be bad. And that is the meaning of the hadith. Whoever, for every action there is a shirra, a time of energy and high. And for every action there is a fetra, where there is a lull and laziness. So whoever his fetra, his time of lull, is to my sunnah, then he has been guided. And whoever's lull, his fetra, is to other than that, then he will be destroyed. And that is the meaning of that. Whoever starts on the sunnah will end on the sunnah, will end good. Whoever begins on other than the sunnah will end on the other than the sunnah and will be destroyed. And with that, the Sheikh, Habibullah, he ended his speech. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم